March is National Nutrition Month, and Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
The Democrats have to now decide whether they will continue defrauding the public with ridiculous bullshit. Partisan investigations, or whether they will apologize to the American people and join us to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure.
That was pretty funny, I have to say. I found that to be pretty funny. Welcome to the show. It's Friday, everybody. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's Friday. I have to tell you, I woke up this morning and I thought, oh, it's Saturday. And then I realized, no, it's not. It's Friday. And we still have a stupid, stupid news cycle, which we're going to get into because we got a lot of stuff to get into with that. And I have one of the things that, by the way, one of the things I'm going to go over today is the Violence Against Women Act and why there's so many people have so many problems with it. We're going to get into the weeds with it because why not? We're going to go to class. Let's have some fun at class. It's a fun class. Like I let you bring your beer in. That's the kind of class it is, right? That's a great class. You know what I'm saying? All right. So the president had a, I didn't watch the rally last night. I had book stuff to do because, oh my gosh. And so I didn't watch the rally, and I knew he would say something good and that it'd end up, because I like the good parts, you know, I like the highlights. So I actually didn't watch it last night. But what I did see is I was knee deep in Bookville. And what I did see, and I thought this was funny, is all of these people, guys, all of these people on the left, they just all of a sudden, poof, like in Harry Potter when somebody magically changes into something else, they turned into Puritans. They started referring to each other as goody this and goody that. Did you know? It's pretty funny. They were horrified. These holy people were so horrified on the left that he said the words bull burp. He said those words. So terrifying. I mean, these are people who are totally fine with stabbing scissors in the back of babies' heads as they're being born, and that's part of the abortion process. But it's more terrifying to say the word BS. And some of them tried to compare it to some of them were trying to use it as a way to justify Rashida Tlaib saying we're going to impeach the MFER, right? It's not even close. And he's right, though. And by the way, I think anybody would be mad over a media trying to gaslight the country into thinking that you're a Russian spy. Just going to say, I mean, wouldn't you be kind of mad? Yeah. Wouldn't you be mad if like somebody was saying stuff about you, right? It'd be like, you know, all my friends and family in St. Louis, it's like somebody coming up to you and saying you're a Cubs fan. I'm so sorry, folks in Chicago, but, you know, it's true. It's like somebody coming up to them and being like, you're a Cubs fan. Oh, my gosh, those are fighting words. That's how you get into a good old-fashioned Ozark fight right up in there. Woo! Get it! So anybody would be angry if you had a media sitting here telling all these people, well, you know, he's a Russian spy. And we have zero evidence of this. We're just making crap up at this point. But he's a spy. Oh my gosh, you know what the other hot take was? I wasn't going to get to it yet, but I'm doing it now because, ooh, let me find it. Because this goes in perfectly. It's under Marussia. You know what the other hot take is? They're trying to say that, well, how is it possible that Bill Barr only created 3 pages of a summary from Bob Mueller's 300 plus pages? And how, okay, you want to play that game? Let's play. I love games. Yay. I'm so your Huckleberry. How is it that Bob Mueller was able to only come up with 300 plus pages of a conclusion after 2.5 years of abuse of multi-government systems in collaboration with Russians and spies and FARA violating entities in the United States for all that time. See how fun that is? It's so, I just won. It's amazing. I love winning. Love winning. So this was a really good week, I think, for the administration. I think it was, and it was a really good, and his approval rating is like at 50% right now. I was looking at a couple, I was looking at a couple of different polls. There was one poll out, a singular, and I didn't look at the crosstabs. It said 50. The other one that I read, though, and this was like 4 or 5 days ago, and it was in a, it was really quick in a headline, but it was 51. And that was a pretty good, I did actually look at the data for that. And I think it was like 1,500 people that were surveyed. They were registered voters. And it was a pretty good cut. So it wasn't just like in the South that was sampled, and it wasn't just in the Midwest that was sampled. They got some Northeast, they got some Northwest, they got some, I mean, so it was a pretty good sample size. But, you know, the president has, it was a good, he had some good remarks last night. And I have to show you, because they're trying to make something stick at this point. Anything, because this didn't work. People are already fed up with the Mueller stuff. Average everyday Americans don't give a crap at all about this thing, because they see there's nothing that has come from it this entire time. And so now I was looking at this Pew poll. This is what they've been really focusing on. That's, I think this is why they've returned to the race stuff. After the Russian stuff, they decided to return to the race stuff. So this is from Pew. Which is the best double entendre I think you could possibly have? They say they were looking at the public's views, and they're left leaning, and they did oversample with left. But they said that the majority of people say Trump has done too little to distance himself from white nationalist groups. Define that. Like, how distant? Like Hillary Clinton, Bob Byrd, who's a Klan member and said the N-word in 2003 on TV, is like that kind of distance? That guy's her mentor, that before he kicked the bucket, that kind of distance. I'm curious. I find that when she brought that up during the campaign, I really wish he would have said, well, at least my spouse has never been the member of a whites only golf club, like in the 90s, you know, back when we had Walkmans and disc players and internet, you know, where it wasn't like in the days of yore before people, you know, we're able to learn and know better. You know what I mean? Like in the 90s, dude. 90s. Like, how is that even possible? But this, and I think that he doesn't, it's not even a focus of his, but that's something that they keep pushing. And I'm where has he not? The presupposition is that he has been close to them. And I would love for someone to actually explain how that is. How does that, what do you mean? He's been, to say that he hasn't distanced himself means that he's had some sort of, that he has sought or encouraged some association, Kane.
No, to be truthful about this, it's the media that has done way too much to align him with white nationalism and that negativity. That's literally what's going on. It's not about Trump having to distance himself. He's always done that. He's always played the center line in regards to, you know, who he favors.
Well, he said those were bad people in Charlotte, and I think everybody's basing it on that.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew who the hell was coming out there. You had a group of doofballs that went out there with Home Depot torches, tiki torches, for crying out loud. And everyone wanted to act like, oh my gosh, there's Trump's friends.
But this is literally the media doing word yoga to align him with white nationalism or some sort of racism. It's not Trump's job to try to distance him. He's already done that. It's the media's job to stop overdoing it, and let's get to real stuff. That's all.
Exactly. So I want to give you some insight. I have a lot packed in today for you, and I wanted to give you a little bit of insight as to what we're going to be getting into, because there's two things that I want to spend some time on today. A couple things that I want to spend some time on. One of those things is relates to the Violence Against Women Act and some of the mad crap that's being said about it, and about and there's some bad stuff regarding your rights in there too that we're gonna touch on. So that's one of the things that we're gonna focus on today. And then one of the other things that we will that we're gonna get to is this. Do you know? So Jussie Smollett was nominated for an NAACP Image Award because nothing matters, apparently. Absolutely nothing. Nothing matters. So, yeah. So we're gonna get into that as well. And then we have Mailbag of Hate coming up later on. And so here's the other thing. I read this article last night. You remember how I think I had it in our third hour or first hour headlines yesterday? Barbara Bush, how she gave an interview to this woman, Susan Page, who's been writing this biography of her, and now it's coming out, right? I was floored at what I read last night. Did you see that link I sent to you? We were always told that, and it was really, especially, you know, after HW passed away, and then after she passed away, we were always told that they had like this amazing marriage and they were just aghast, particularly George H.W. Bush, at someone like Trump who could do what, you know, who was unfaithful and he's in the White House. And I'm reading, and these are interviews with Barbara Bush. And I've always liked Barbara Bush. I have not agreed with her husband on everything, but I appreciate strong women that can run their house, right? And this woman has blasted him posthumously. And he had an affair for 12 years. The same woman. And he kind of told her to get over it. So I know. That's where I couldn't believe it. I'm like reading this like, what? These were interviews that she gave the woman. Just telling her, yeah. She was like, sometimes I had to pull the car over on the side of the road because I wanted to drive it into a tree. Oh my gosh. So we're going to touch on that. So two big things to get into. And then I have a bunch of other stuff to touch on as well. And we're going to get into all of that. Folks, the MyPillow people love me some MyPillow. I got some pillows because I love them. And I also have their new Giza cotton sheets. These are awesome. If you hate the fact that your sheets, or if you hate that, you know, there's so many sheets, different types of sheets out there. And some people say, oh, these are so good. Sometimes I find that the ones that are talked about the most as being the best actually don't allow air to circulate. And it's just, they're miserable to sleep in. And that's the big thing, especially as we're transitioning into summer. You want to be able to be comfortable and not wake up, you know, sweating to death, or because your sheets are like coming off your bed or something like that. So Giza cotton sheets from MyPillow. First off, it's made with the world's best cotton. It's grown in a precise area near the Mediterranean. Very smooth and breathable and very durable. So there's two things I like about it. The first is that it allows air to circulate. I mean, they're super comfortable, super soft sheets, and yet because I keep my bedroom at 67 degrees. I'm not even kidding you. It's insane. I like to sleep in the Arctic. But I want totally comfortable sheets. I've always been like this. I want totally comfortable sheets. I love these Giza sheets. I just love them. They're my favorite ones that I've ever had. And they have super deep pockets, which means I don't break my back trying to get them on the fitted sheet on my mattress, which it's ridiculous sometimes. So you can, also 100% machine washable and dryable. Call 800-944-4975. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code Dana. Get your Giza sheets today. Get a better night's rest. Just visit MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or 800-944-4975. March is National Nutrition Month, and Superbeats by Human wants to get your cardiovascular system back in rhythm. Did you know that the top health benefit that Americans want from their food or nutrients is cardiovascular health? But 38% feel confused about what to eat to achieve goals. Superbeats is a highly concentrated, scientifically formulated solution that supports healthy blood pressure levels and circulation. According to a recent announcement by the American Heart Association, 48% of Americans have some form of serious cardiovascular health issue, and 39% have unhealthy blood pressure. Superbeats helps boost your nitric oxide level, which is critical to healthy blood pressure levels and cardiovascular health. Try Superbeats risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeats.com to get this special offer. You'll even get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at danasbeats.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test your nitric oxide levels. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617 now and get your heart moving to Superbeats.
Follow along on Twitter at DLash
and Official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Oh, I got me some headlines. Let's go ahead and jump into it because I have one that's pretty schadenfreude.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Hey, Kane, do you remember what happened when dicks lived up to their name?
Yeah. Yes, I do remember.
Okay, so now it's been reported that restricting gun sales cost dicks $150 million last year. Don't be dicks. Don't be like them. Cost them $150 million last year. So that's the... And they said, well, I guess we're going to have to figure out how to navigate this new note. Because they don't have any hunting. They took out anything related to fire hunting, all of it.
And did you see their story? They said it's the gun issue that's caused it.
Oh,
it's
yeah, like, really? It is. Yeah, it is.
The gun issue?
Uh-huh. I mean, really? You think that it was? Was it that? Was it that? I thought that was hysterical. So, Department of Justice's official, remember Bruce and Nelly Oer? Well, now it came out that Nelly Oer actually researched Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka's international travels while she was looking for suspicious dealings, working for that Fusion GPS, a.k.a. the Golden Showers dossier firm. And she, this is such abuse. She sought out Fusion founder Glenn Simpson, and she wanted to work for him, and that's what she was doing. Is that not insane? In fact, she was queried about her husband's work when her testimony before the Judiciary Committee, her own research for Fusion GPS. The firm contracted Christopher Steele to produce, you know, the Golden Showers dossier. And when she was asked if she worked for the CIA, her lawyer intervened and kept intervening on everything. She did some shady stuff, folks. Oh, my goodness. The schadenfreude. Basta. Creepy porn lawyer Michael Avenatti dodged taxes for a decade, splashing hundreds of thousands of dollars on luxury apartments, Ferraris, Porsches, jewelry, according to IRS papers. His alleged tax fraud was revealed in these charges. He spent also, clothes, watches, houses, fast cars. He was charged Monday with trying to extort $25 million from Nike and further frauds elsewhere in L.A. California district. So, yeah, he's been dodging it for a decade while rocking a skullet. Feels like that's very important to just remind everybody. Good mothers have kinder children, says stupid obvious study. It's really an actual study. Someone spent money on this. They say teens shown affection by mom are more likely to help others and comfort them when they're upset. Researchers in Totally Obviousville asked 300 young people aged 14 to 19 about their moms. And those with nice moms had kind kids. In other news, water's wet. Moving on down the line. Hill's Pet Nutrition added more items to the list of canned wet dog food recalled due to potentially dangerous levels of vitamin D, which I didn't even know you could have too much of that in there like that. They said that the products have been recalled because of those dangerous levels of vitamin D. They've identified and isolated the supplier error involving a particular vitamin premix in February, but they added additional products to the recall on March 21st. 8 new products were added, 20 new lot codes. They say that 9 other brands have had similar recalls, including Columbia River, Kroger, King Supers, A&F Pet, Sunshine Mills, and a bunch of other stuff. You should probably go to hillspet.com if you want more information on that, because I'm not going to spend the rest of this headline section talking about it. Moving on down. The DEA is looking for a contractor who can burn 1,000 pounds of marijuana per hour. Somebody call Snoop. DEA is looking for a contractor who can burn 1,000 pounds of marijuana per hour. They require that the contractor have their own closed-circuit cameras, and they observe the right to access the video to make sure the evidence is being properly destroyed. And it's also not just marijuana, but they need to be able to incinerate papers, cassette tapes, pharmaceuticals, and other incidental controlled substances. But they have to be able to burn 1,000 pounds of marijuana per hour for a minimum of 8 consecutive hours per day. And they're going to drug check and background check all the people that are doing it. Wow. So coming up, the dumbest take on the Violence Against Women's Act ever. We're going to get into why there's some opposition to this. Stay with us.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
Every chairman, look to your brief, see how you can, whether it's in building the infrastructure in a green way, or whether it is building broadband in our country so that communication is improved, and receiving people's suggestions about how, especially young people, about climate. So it is a caucus-wide effort for the people.
Expand it so they can send me stuff. The internet, how does it work? We need more internet. M-O-A-R. More internet. I-N-N-E-R-N-E-T. Oh, my goodness. All right. So one of the big hot takes that I've seen. Oh, it has been such a hot take. Has been this stuff with the Violence Against Women Act, which every single time this comes up, Democrats like to use it kind of as a slush fund. It's sort of a, they, previously in terms of funding for certain programs, there have been fights over it. I would just think that if you are so concerned about the safety and well-being of women, that you wouldn't try to impede the passage of anything that would aid or protect them by including some of your very, very extreme agenda in it. I would think that. And this is what they do. They will use a particular bill that pretty much everybody can agree on, but then they'll slip in something very extreme related to their agenda, and then they attack you as not supporting the wider scope because you oppose what they've added in. And that's exactly what they're doing with this. So the Violence Against Women's Act, they have, Republicans had votes during the lame duck to reauthorize it, and they put it in the omnibus too, without, because they included some red flag stuff in it. And then they got caught up in the immigration fight, and then they had the shutdown and all this stuff. And so Democrats decided to remove it from the omnibus because they wanted to try to politicize this, the red flag provision. And the red flag provision, this is the red flag stuff, and this is why the red flag stuff is basically, you have the red, and I've covered every single red flag case separately for NRA and them and NRA TV separately from radio. I've covered every single state, every single proposal, every single red flag proposal, and there is not one that includes any sort of protections for due process. Not a single one. I've read the legislation of every single proposal that has been put forward in every single state. I have read it also, the provision in the Violence Against Women's Act. And so the problem with the red flag laws is that it ignores the protocol that we have currently, and it tries to basically cliff note it. You don't expedite something by removing constitutional protections. That is not how that is accomplished. And what the red flag law does is it removes any presumption of innocence until proven guilty. You also lose any property, and there's no penalty for false accusations, and it's all at your expense. So look at it like this: the red flag provision, after the Lautenberg Amendment, this can mean intimate partner, it can mean spouse, you know, etc. And we went over some of this stuff yesterday. If you are convicted of stalking, if you have a protective order against you, you are rendered ineligible under law to purchase or possess a firearm, right? So all of that already is codified. So the Violence Against Women Act, they included a provision, a red flag provision, that would remove constitutional protections and make it to where if you were falsely accused, and don't tell me that that hasn't happened before, because I've covered UVA. We've covered so many different stories of men who have been accused, and there's been no criminal penalty except say for like three instances for those who falsely accuse these people and ruin their lives. There's no protections against abuse of this, none at all whatsoever. So if you're accused and it's inaccurate, you're on the hook for thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to clear your name and get your property back, because that's what it takes. You are immediately assumed guilty until proven innocent, and your property is taken from you. And the other problem with it is that this is whenever people say that if they think that someone is dangerous enough that they have to come and take their property, well, then how come is it that there's never any treatment or follow up that's included as a part of that provision or plan? And it's not in with Rubio's red flag provision, which I'm going to talk about later on. And it's not in with this one either. It's not in this. So this is, they want to expand the scope of misdemeanor prohibitions. They want to expand the definition of what they consider to be a domestic relationship. Now, here's the thing. When you do that, you are opening it up for anyone, even if they have a grievance against you that's completely unfounded, to be able to falsely accuse, and then you are the one who is in this particular position, right? And what I don't understand about this is that we have so many legal processes by which someone can absolutely go if they think that they're dangerous, and have them detained and have firearms removed while their due process is being protected. You have civil commitments. You can have someone adjudicate where you can have them civil commitment. You can go in and you can have them checked out mental health purposes. You have protective orders, etc. This is the problem that Democrats always have. It's like when they talk about the No Fly Act, they say if you're on a list, then you shouldn't be able to purchase or buy a gun. Well, my problem is, first off, they don't even know the criteria. I've actually spoken off record with people who work within the FBI, and they said that not even everyone in their agency even knows all the criteria for getting on the list. And here's the problem. No one has any legal recourse to get off that list. If someone is so dangerous that you're removing natural rights from them, then they are dangerous enough to charge. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they are dangerous enough and there is enough there to say, we're going to punish you for this, then there is enough there, and then there's enough to charge. So why not bring charges? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, whether it's preponderance of evidence or what, I mean, you bring charges. And where it concerns the red flag, or the red flag is particularly as it relates to the Violence Against Women's Act, they always say, well, there's loopholes for domestic violence or stalking. There literally is not. 18 USC 922G, this is codified. We read it yesterday. You want me to read it on air again? If you are convicted of misdemeanor domestic assault, you are rendered ineligible. If you are a convicted stalker, you are rendered ineligible. I could go on and on. They act like these laws don't exist. And when you refuse to recognize the law, you undermine the law. And so what they did is, this Violence Against Women Act, they decided to, in this act, slip in this provision where they want to reduce due process, actually diminish it entirely, and make it to where there's no penalty for any kind of false accusations as well. And they ignore the legal process by which we have already, that someone can take action legally and constitutionally without undermining rights or diminishing rights that maybe perhaps you wouldn't want to rely upon in the future. And that is the difference. So what Democrats are saying right now is that, oh my goodness, people who own guns hate women now because they don't support the Violence Against Women Act. That's so, and they're purposely trying to say that. And they expanded, by the way, the Gun Control Act in the mid-90s. They expanded prohibitions to even include include misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. And they were correcting in that what they thought was a dismissive look that the courts had when considering cases of that sort. There are no loopholes for domestic violence or stalking. There's none, nothing like that. But what it does is it creates new prohibitions for misdemeanor offenses that do not involve any violence. And it creates also this air of confusion because it conflates crimes. And it makes you think that, oh my goodness, there isn't, like I explained, oh, there isn't anything for, you know, if you beat your wife, or the way that they word it and the way that they have been promoting it is purposely confusing for people so that they think that there aren't already these protections in place. And that's why people have been objecting to it. That's why I'm talking about it now. That's why you see some Republicans objecting to it. That's why you saw the NRA, because they were like, whoa, hold up. You're talking about diminishing due process here with a red flag law. That's unconstitutional. There are better ways to go around this, but they don't want to actually talk about the other legal pathways. Democrats have done a really good job at trying to refuse to distribute or share any information with their constituents about the laws that we currently have. It is a dereliction of duty, and it is incredibly irresponsible. And they want to prey upon that ignorance as a way to pass very, very, very bad laws that do nothing for women, but do everything to harm innocent people. And a note about women and firearms. One of the things that always amazes me is how here in this era, we are told that women are so empowered and women can do anything and women have the choice to do whatever. And all of this, we're constantly force fed this every single day. But then simultaneously, we're told women are too stupid to be able to defend themselves. Women are too stupid to carry a firearm, and they shame and they try to harass and they dox women who want to empower themselves to be able to defend themselves using a firearm. And they want to scare women into being helpless and to being targets as much as absolutely possible. I look at it like this. If you are not for me and my pro-choice right of self-defense, then you are against me and you are for the criminal. Bottom line. And all the people who support this reduction of due process while simultaneously arguing women are too stupid to own firearms, you're standing with criminals and you're not standing with women. Stop using women. I'm so tired of seeing the left do this. I mean, this is the equivalent of telling us to go back into the kitchen and make a sandwich. It really is. But just in a policy bill form. It's what it is. No more. I'm also going to talk about the Rubio's risk protection order stuff as well, because all of that, these people, they're such liars. I mean, there's just no other way to go around it. They're just such incredible liars. We have more to come. We got Florida Man Next Hour too, a mailbag of hate later on in the program that you don't want to miss. Patriot Mobile is my cell phone service. I've used them for a number of years now, and I rely on them for super fast nationwide coverage because I travel a lot. And I also rely on them to not take my money and send it to socialist campaigns and Planned Parenthood and groups that are pushing for amnesty and to reduce and diminish your Second Amendment rights. So in addition to providing great customer service and very affordable plans, unlimited plans starting as low as $20 a month, I also know that my cell phone and my bill money is supporting things that I vote to protect. And you can switch today. They make it so incredibly easy. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Use code Dana. You can also head over to patriotmobile.com/Dana, and you can get up to 2 activation fees waived. So stop supporting all of the stuff that you take action against and you speak out against every day. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. 1-800-A-PATRIOT, code Dana, patriotmobile.com/Dana.
Spanning coast to coast and all over flyover nation.
The Dana Show.
We have a lot to jump into still, including coming up some of the updates on the Smollett case. I was looking at this story that took place. Athens Banner Herald had it. This I've never seen anything quite like this. It says that this was in it's the Savannah's mayoral race in Savannah, Georgia, and on Wednesday, where they were having a meeting to discuss the race, they barred reporters from attending unless the reporters were black. And they even put a sign on the door. It said, no audio or video recording, no media, TV, radio, etc., black press only. And they were all over the door. They had multiple signs. It said, black press only on the doors of the church. White reporters were barred from entry. Black reporters for at least 2 television stations were permitted inside. And it was an event coordinated by Reverend Clarence Teddy Williams, who owns the Trigon Group, who is it's a consulting firm. He wouldn't talk to anybody about the injury policy. Former Savannah Mayor Edna Jackson was there. They had Chatham County Commissioner Chester Ellis. Ellis says, this is not my idea. They also had the alderman Estella Shabazz, who attended. And none of them would talk about how it was all along racial lines that reporters were allowed in and I've never seen anything like it. When asked about it, Savannah Alderman Van Johnson, one of 3 who stated their intention to run for mayor, said afterwards during the meeting that he had talked about his vision for an inclusive and progressive Savannah. Really? With regards to the discriminatory policy at the door, Johnson said he believed people have the right to assemble and determine the rules of their assembly. He goes, it's not my meeting. I was asked to come here and give a statement, so I did. Oh, okay. Interesting. I've just never seen anything like that before. And it is racist. That is a racist policy. It would be just as bad as if it said white reporters only. It's bad. I mean, there's it's bad. So I just was really shocked to see something like that. I mean, it's 2019. The Associated Press, the only reason everybody knows about it, because there were enough people that thought, oh, this is kind of weird, but it was at the Bolton Street Baptist Church. And goodness. I mean, it seems straight. I mean, it was just electoral strategy. That's all it was. And the Bolton Street Baptist Church, the organizers apparently wanted to make sure that there was only one, I guess, African-American candidate that, you know, qualified for the ballot so that they wanted to keep one of the strategies and some of the stuff that they were putting out was to stop splitting the black vote and make sure that there was one candidate that they could get behind. And they said that they would have a tough time unseating Eddie DeLoach, the current mayor, unless they approached it like that. But I just don't understand why. I mean, unless you're trying to control messaging, why would you only keep it to reporters of one particular race? And the weird thing is that it had a it did the exact opposite of what they wanted to do, because now a lot of the African-American candidates running for mayor, they did not like that sort of attention. Nobody wanted that kind of attention on their race, like their campaign. I mean, a private group can, you know, set its own terms for admissions. It wasn't a government event. But I think that people need to be consistent when we discuss freedom of assembly. There isn't any consistency, whether it's a bakery, whether it's Dan Cathy at Chick-fil-A. There's no consistency. And that's, I think, the big problem. I don't think anybody has a problem with private groups and private property choosing how they want to assemble. But the issue is that only progressive ideology allows that option for progressive ideology. No one else is allowed. That is what is discriminatory. There isn't any consistency on it. Coming up in our next hour, we'll open up some phone lines. Also, there's more. Some mothers who lost their children in shootings in Chicago, gang violence and everything else that they, you know, or that they just were even incorrectly targeted in, they're infuriated, wondering why Jussie Smollett got more attention and more resources than their kids. So we have that for you. We're also going to get in how some of Marussia stuff and the Rubio extreme risk protection order. There's some things wrong with it. We'll talk about it. We got a lot in store. Mailbag of hate too, and Florida Man. Stay with us.
It's only March and progressives have done nothing this year but cause chaos. Cuomo, Ocasio-Cortez, Kamala Harris, all promoting infanticide, running businesses out of New York, and so much more. I have a question for you. Are you funding their progressive agenda? Major corporations where you shop every day are using their buying power to steer America towards a socialist economy. If your cell phone plan is with AT&T or Verizon, your money is supporting progressive candidates, the ACLU, Unidos US, and Planned Parenthood. You can support your own values by switching to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile offers the same reliable nationwide coverage you already have, plus they take a portion of their proceeds and support conservative organizations like the Heritage Foundation, the Susan B. Anthony List, and more. Patriot Mobile has unlimited talk and text plans starting as low as $20 a month. It's easy to switch. Call 1-800-A-PATRIOT and mention Dana or visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana and they'll waive up to 2 activation fees. Join me and switch to Patriot Mobile today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana.
Look, I've always said from day one, this is a Trump-free zone, the city of Chicago, and I mean it. Let me be really clear about something. The only reason Jussie Smollett thought he could take advantage of a hoax about a hate crime is for the environment, the toxic environment that Donald Trump created. This is a president who drew a moral equivalency between people who are trying to perpetuate bigotry and those who are trying to fight bigotry. As somebody who started his own journey on politics, fighting the neo-Nazis in Skokie and then down to Marquette Park,
and Chick-fil-A,
President Trump should literally take his politics, move it aside. He's created a toxic environment. Now he's created a toxic, vicious cycle.
I was waiting for that other douchebag shoe to drop, and there it is. You know what, by the way, sidebar, douchebag shoe sounds like a great like B-side song for one of the fake band names we have. Welcome back to the show. It's second hour. It's Friday. At DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Find me on Instagram, elsewhere. So you knew, I agreed with what Rahm said. Now, some people were jumping the gun with regards to when the press conference, and I said, well, what Rahm Emanuel just said is correct. And people were like, you can't trust Rahm. Y'all are arguing a straw man. You're all feathering up yourselves a pretty little straw man because I never said nothing like that. What he said was correct, yes. But you knew that douchebag shoe's going to drop. You knew it was. Man can't help himself. He's like, well, it's all Trump's fault. It's like, he created this toxic culture. No, that was your boss, dude. Actually, even before then, it was Clinton. And Hillary Clinton back in the 90s with a vast right-wing conspiracy to the point where VRWC became, like, really the one of the first earliest non-hashtag hashtags. Oh, my goodness. So that's what, yeah, that's something that's been going on since Obama, Clinton, really Clinton, but Obama really inflamed it as well. It's just ridiculous to sit here and act like, oh, well, that is it. That is it. So we played the audio of the attorney yesterday, and she had said, well, maybe it's because they were in whiteface. That's why maybe he said two white men scream MAGA, even though they had balaclavas on that they bought at the Crafty Beaver. And it sounds like a Beastie Boys song, Crafty Beaver, by the way. Or also maybe Steel Panther.
Oh, yeah.
That is totally a Steel Panther song. Yeah. So, as I was saying, the attorney yesterday was saying that because one time the brothers dressed up as Joker from Batman and were in whiteface, maybe that's why Jesse Smollett thought that his attackers were white. Okay, so the attorney for the Nigerian brothers, after they heard that, and they heard Tina Glandian, the attorney, suggesting the reason he said that his attackers were white is because one of the brothers may have been wearing whiteface. Gloria Schmidt, the attorney, said, quote, I heard that, and I think it's absolutely just atrocious. It adds to, I think, why people are giving lawyers a bad name, end quote. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe all of this. Yeah, listen to this. This is Audio Soundbite 10. This is the attorney. I mean, it is. It's so bad. Listen to her response to what Smollett's lawyer said yesterday about them being in whiteface, maybe.
I heard that, and I think that's absolutely just atrocious. It adds to, I think, why people are giving lawyers a bad name. It's to distract from the real issues here, and by putting out conspiracy theories that perhaps my clients were wearing whiteface. It just adds to the ridiculous and the offensiveness of this entire thing.
Yeah, because it is so unbelievable. Yeah, but that's dumb. Yeah, it is dumb. It's a pretty dumb thing that his attorney had suggested. But I do think it's hysterical that Rahm Emanuel says, well, this toxic culture was created by Trump, not Obama at all whatsoever. No way. Wow. I mean, really, there's one guy who made up the whole story, but hey, Trump!
Right.
I mean, you had a guy who literally paid dudes to fake attack him so he could incite a race war, but hey, Trump, you know. Yeah. But Trump, though. Jeez. It's like that meme that I see where you have somebody riding a bike and they take a stick and they put it in the spokes of their own bike and then they fall over, hold their knee. Damn you, Trump. It's not even related. Not even related. Meanwhile, you have people who I don't know when they had 12 detectives on the case in the Smollett story. 12 detectives on the case. And one of the mothers, as they're talking about making him pay back, Carmia Tang, her only child, Jeremy Alexander Tang, was murdered a couple of years ago. Her son Jeremy's murder case is among 700 unsolved murders in Chicago. She wrote an op-ed. She wrote an editorial, and she says, I'm disgusted by the national media attention that the Jussie Smollett case received. Meanwhile, right now, we have hundreds of mothers left with unanswered questions and unsolved cases. She says, can we get the same efforts and national media attention that Smollett got with his alleged attack? If he lied, he's wasted tons of taxpayer dollars and extremely valuable police time and should be prosecuted to the fullest. Police results were used for an awful hoax instead of an unsolved case like Jeremy's. Jeremy was murdered 2 weeks before his 21st birthday. She says, he meant the world to me. He played football and water polo. He loved to dance. He was my heart and soul. And she says there are hundreds of mothers in Chicago in this exact same position. Where is the national media attention and outrage for the 700-plus unsolved murders in Chicago? And she also says for the, she also talks about the gang violence and the gang violence driving the gun violence and that. Seems like a year ago I asked this question on stage too at CPAC and the media got mad at me for asking. You gonna get mad at her too? Because she's right. Where's the national media attention on all those cases? Her son, he was college bound, athlete. She says, is the nation aware that the Illinois Crime Lab is currently backed up and processing over 13,000 cases of DNA for various crimes in Chicago? They said at a Senate hearing last year it would take up to 5 years to catch up on all of these cases. She says, leaving criminals left walking the streets of Chicago. They now have low funding and staffing. But did you know that in 2017, Chicago spent over $500,000 to clean up the park after Lollapalooza? She says parents and families of gun violence victims matter too, talking about gangs and drugs. Can we please get the same efforts and national media attention that Smollett got with his alleged attack? Whew. Yep. She's mad and rightfully so. And I was also looking, Daily Caller had a really interesting piece of all of the petty crimes that could land you a harsher sentence than what Jesse Smollett got. Because innocent people have to forfeit $10,000 bond, right? They had a very, it was a very interesting, they had a series of petty crimes, things that you could get in trouble for. If you hop over the turnstile, or, you know, you steal a candy bar, you know, things like that. Public urination, you get 35 hours of community service. I mean, just like stuff that is nowhere near like, you know, 16 charges, felony count, and then doing all of that stuff. I mean, there was, it's a serious miscarriage of justice. A very serious miscarriage of justice. It's sad. I feel bad for that mom, and she's right. I didn't realize 13,000 cases with DNA that they had to still go through. And they are broke. They have some of the highest taxes, and they're broke. I don't understand it. How in the world? This is what happens when, you have a Democrat-run state for as long as it has been. Yeah, exactly. We have more still to go on. And coming up, we're going to get, well, I'll discuss some of Marco Rubio's proposed extreme risk protection order. We will also touch upon Eric Holder asking, when was America ever great? Oh boy, right. And this crazy story, Barbara Bush's biography, she gave an interview to the author. Wow, there's some stuff. Celebrities are threatening to boycott Georgia over their heartbeat bill. Mm-hmm. And then there's a guy in Texas who is going to get executed because he's a murderer. And the Supreme Court halted his execution because his Buddhist priest couldn't be there. What? So we're going to get into that. And we have Mailbag of Hate. We're also going to be opening up phone lines. 844-344-DANA. It is Open Line Friday as we get rocking and rolling because there's still... Yeah, Buddhist priest wasn't there. I mean, you're on death row. Like, you're about to get executed. I'm digressing. Kel-Tec makes some really awesome and very innovative firearms. I like Kel-Tec stuff because it's fun to shoot. I like going to the range with my family and friends, whether it's the KSG series, their tactical shotgun, which is just a great example, by the way, of their innovation and performance. You got a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun, chamber for 3-inch shells, dual tube mags, 6 shells, each tube, one in the chamber. Lightweight, easy to control. Oh, by the way, it's civilian legal. In all states, all 50 states, even California, it's only 26.1 inches long. They also have their new CP, which is competition pistol, CP33. It's a 22LR. The 33 is for the 33-round mags, two of them's factory standard that it ships with. And it's a very fun firearm. It's great for target acquisition, smooth, lightweight, 4-pound trigger pull, really awesome. And it's also ambidextrous as well. So lefties and righties, you all can take advantage of that magazine catch and the safety out there. Very fun. It's very similar to, it's inspired by the PMR 30, their pistol, which was a 22-30 round mag. Very cool. The CMR 30, the rifle version of that. You have to check out everything Kel-Tec has to offer. Visit KelTecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Listen live around the world
at danaradio.com.
Oil trade. Mexico is making absolutely a fortune with the United States. They have a trade surplus of over $100 billion, which is far bigger than anybody understands. They've had it for many years, and either they're going to stop. They have the strongest immigration laws anywhere in the world, and we have the weakest, the most pathetic laws. Number one, Congress has to act. And number two, Mexico, they make so much money from the United States and so many other things, so many other assets. They have to grab it and they have to stop it. We have right now two big caravans coming up from Guatemala, massive caravans walking right through Mexico. So Mexico's tough. They can stop them, but they chose not to. Now they're going to stop them. And if they don't stop them, we're closing the border. They'll close it, and we'll keep it closed for a long time. I'm not playing games. Mexico has to stop it. They have people coming right through Mexico.
Stop it. I love it. He's like taking a Bob Newhart from SNL kind of thing. Stop it already. Just stop it. It's funny. Welcome back to the show. At DLash on Twitter. At Fisher Dinerash on Facebook. We got headlines for you. Let's kick it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so let's see here. I don't know how I want to start with it. Oh, this right here. Oh, no, 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 no. Dunkin'. Are they not Dunkin' Donuts anymore? They just call themselves Dunkin'. Don't know if I'm like, Dunkin' what?
They don't just do donuts. They don't just do coffee. They've got breakfast sandwiches
Dunkin'.
And other
it
stuff.
Just sound doesn't sound. Where are you eating at, Dunkin'? Dunkin' what? Dunkin' stuff.
But is there Dunkin' steaks somewhere? There's not. There's just Dunkin' Donuts. Everyone knows when.
I just
Dunkin'.
Think it. I don't know. I'm just the whole thing. Anyway, my whole point in saying this is. By the way, Radio America, I hate your stupid PC phone screener. I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to take it out back and throw it up in the air and shoot it with my bird gun.
This is my official hatiest flavor. I hate this.
Peeps flavored coffee, y'all, from Dunkin'. Peeps flavored coffee. Peeps favorite. Actually, just be like, I want the liquid diabetes. I want that's what I would like. Oh, you want Peeps flavored coffee. Okay. So that's how they're doing their coffee. If you want all the sugar. They're typing it. They're topping it. Oh my gosh. I can't even say it. It makes me sick. With white icing, a green and egg-shaped sprinkle blend, and a mini yellow peep chick on top. That is not coffee. That is not coffee. No. Military recruits next generation of soldiers at gamer convention. I called this like years ago. Last year the Army missed its recruiting goal, but they're looking at actual gamers now because of honestly, they're actually acquiring a skill set because of the hand-eye coordination and everything else. So they're putting together the first Army esports team. More than 7,000 active duty soldiers are now competing for just 30 full-time positions by playing games like Call of Duty, Fortnite, League of Legends, hoping to compete in esports tournaments across the country. Interesting. That's fascinating to me. Let's see. Twitter may slap Trump tweets that violate rules, according to The Hill. A Twitter executive said the company's considering a new feature that might label tweets from politicians, including the president, if they violate Twitter rules. The head of legal policy, trust and safety, which is so funnily named, said at a Washington Post event this week that the company may start annotating offensive tweets from public figures with a message about why they remain up if they find them offensive. Oh, boy. Thought police. Karl Rove says, you need to move on from Bob Mueller, Mr. President. I think Karl Rove needs to move on in a way. Somewhere else. Not here. Bye. Go on. A group of rescued migrants hijacked an oil tanker. Oh, maybe they just needed a... Oh, no. No, no, no. It wasn't. Maltese Special Operations Team Thursday boarded a tanker that was hijacked by migrants rescued at sea and returned control to the captain. I'm the captain now. Before escorting it to a Maltese port, our military personnel stood guard on the ship's deck. A dozen or so migrants were also visible as the Turkish oil tanker docked at Boiler Wharf in the city of Sengeli. Several police vans were there to take custody of the migrants for investigation. Oh, well... It was kind enough to rescue him, and they just, you know. The Texas AG, Ken Paxton, is now, this is where it's starting to get serious, demanding an investigation after Chick-fil-A was blocked from getting a San Antonio airport location. Ken Paxton said that after letters were sent, said the decision to remove Chick-fil-A from the city's new airport contract may violate federal law and applicable federal regulations against religious discrimination. So they're investigating and asked the Department of Transportation to see if the move violated the agency's regulations prohibiting religious discrimination by federal grant recipients. That's going to be interesting to see how that all falls down. All right, so coming up, crazy story. This biography about Barbara Bush, apparently they didn't have the happiest marriage. Wow, that's pretty. And then we're going to get into that Rubio extreme risk protection orders and the danger that is in it. That and tons more. We got Mailbag of Hate coming up. Open phone lines. Stay with us.
This portion of The Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
Little pencil neck, Adam Schiff. He's got the smallest, thinnest neck I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
He is not a long ball hitter. But I saw him today. Well, we don't really know. There could still have been some Russia collusion. Sick. These are sick people.
Russia. That is so funny. Oh, that was from some of his address last night. So Lena Headey, she's Cersei Lannister on Game of Thrones. Apparently she's a huge fan of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I love it when people who aren't citizens are like, I love your politicians. Anyway, I shouldn't say it because I like Thatcher, but Thatcher was different because she was smart. She put up on Instagram, who should run the world? Brilliant, vocal, fearless, bold, inspirational women, blah, blah, blah. And then she tweets about her and puts it up on Instagram a lot, and social media just roasted her. And it's going to be even funnier if Daenerys Targaryen is one of her dragons roast her too, you know. That's going to be really funny. She always, I like her as an actress, but she always seems like she's trying to be a hard ass, and I can't stand when people do that. I'm like, if you have to sit here and really puff up that much, means you're not, you know what I mean? Stop it. And the people who are always telling other people that they don't care about all the time, and apparently that's all this chick does. She's like, I don't care what anybody thinks, but she says it all the time. Apparently you do, because that's all you talk about. All right, there's a couple of things I want to get into. We're going to, and I'm having a huge problem with my phone screener because it's on a PC, which is horrible, and I want to throw it up in the air and blast it with my shotgun. Why did you get that expression? I might do it.
Because we've already implemented the backup for that failed system.
Okay. 844-344 Dana. All right. So we're gonna be taking calls on this stuff here very shortly. So this story with regards to George and Barbara Bush. I remember, you know, during the primary when Trump started taking the lead, and it seemed there were some people who were shocked that it wasn't going to be Jeb. You have to say it like that because remember the exclamation point. And they were saying, oh, he's so bad because he was not faithful to his wife and all of this stuff. And okay. And apparently neither was George Bush. George H.W. Bush wasn't either for 12 years or so. This story is crazy. And it's not like this. It's not as though this is information that is just, it's some sort of salacious thing. Barbara Bush actually sat down and gave an interview to this lady who was writing her biography. And it's Susan Page. It's The Matriarch, Barbara Bush and the Making of an American Dynasty. And apparently Barbara Bush fell into such a deep depression, she considered suicide because her husband was carrying on this decade plus long affair with one of his younger aides. And she said when she drove, she would sometimes pull over and park so she wouldn't just go hit a tree or drive into oncoming traffic. Yeah. And let me just share with you one, because this is crazy, because this is what we were told, that they had the best. And it's just so, oh my gosh. And I have a question about this too, but it said return, and she worked with this author. She sat down and gave interviews with this author. They're pictured together, all, you know, doing the interview, all kinds of stuff. So she says, returning from a post, this is Susan Page's book, returning from a post in Beijing, China as chief of the U.S. liaison office under President Gerald Ford, Barbara recalled the dizzying years the best of times, but it quickly evolved into the worst. When Bush was assigned to head the embattled CIA in 1975, Barbara fell into a darkness. It says she was overwhelmed. She was, you know, in pain, incredibly lonely, and because he was having this, you know, 12 some odd year long affair, you know, with this woman. What was her Jennifer Fitzgerald is she was named. Bush was introduced to her in the early 70s by a friend. They had these flirtatious calls that led to a romance that carried on for 12 years. And then in 1974, Ford appointed Bush to the chief of the liaison office in China. So Barbara went to Beijing with Bush, and then she learned that Jennifer Fitzgerald, the aide who has no foreign policy experience, was coming to China. So Barbara, I mean, obviously was mad. And so she leaves. Barbara leaves. She got a flight. She caught a ride home on the plane of Henry Kissinger, who was visiting, just happened to be visiting at the time. So she and George Bush did not spend Christmas together. And in 75, he's appointed director of the CIA. He brings Jennifer on as his aide. And that's when Barbara Bush, you know, was apparently considering suicide. She was in depression. Friends speculate Jennifer was one of the factors. They said, I mean, clearly, Bush ran for president. Here's the other thing that gets me. So Jim Baker, his campaign manager and his close friend, apparently told him, look, you've got to, you got to stop this. And he was saying, you know, I basically, like, I can't be your friend if you're continuing to do this. And Bush told him he would think about it. He took a day to think about it. And then I just was shocked. They denied it for a really long time, but apparently there were a lot of whispers about this. And, and apparently George Bush's mother even flew to China to try to talk some sense into him when all that happened. It is just one of the craziest things that I've ever read. I mean, for 12 years. And he denied it. The Fitzgerald lady denied it. Apparently, there was a point when Barbara Bush confronted her husband about it, and it did not go so well because he was basically like, you know, it is what it is. And I'm just amazed at this because it's completely opposite to everything that we heard publicly. I mean, I don't want to get involved in people's romantic lives, but holy cow, this is just, here's my big question about it. Who was the general? Let me pull this up. Who was the general who had the, was it the mistress in Florida or I don't think they were actually like, oh, it's Petraeus. It was General Petraeus. So it was that Paula Broadwell, and he was this, you know, retired four-star general, and they were doing, he chose her to be his official biographer. And it was, he was the International Security Assistance Force commander, and that they were discovered having this extramarital affair, and they ended up uncovering it, and it became this huge thing. And wasn't one of the arguments that was made in this, because I remember covering it at the time, they were saying that because he had to resign, he was the CIA chief to Obama, and he resigned per director from Clapper. He was at the CIA, and it imperiled his ability to do his job, because one of the arguments was that you had this going on the entire time. You could have been compromised, and they could have used this as a way to gain access to things you had access to. Well, why didn't that come up with, I mean, Bush was head of the CIA. Why didn't that come up with him? And VP, and this was going on the entire time. Why wouldn't that come up as, oh my gosh, you have this going on. This could be used as a way to compromise you. Don't, I mean, that's a legitimate question, I think, right?
I mean, I think back then, like now we have Twitter and Instagram and all these other outlets where people are getting information to the masses like within seconds, right? Back then, the network for information wasn't as big as it is now. So either some of this fell under the radar or this was intentionally suppressed.
Yeah, and they were very appalled because they thought Trump, especially HW, had a moral failing. And there was at one point when, you know, when she was telling him about how, according to this article, Susan Page's excerpt when she was telling him how, you know, this is your mistress is making me feel like this. And he was like, yeah, go see a professional. As opposed to you stop screwing around. 12 years. Man, I don't know how she didn't kneecap him. Oh my gosh. I just am amazed at this. Because it was all, there was the intimation that if, you know, the administration has such a moral failing, and there was this intimation that other people, you know, if you support him, maybe perhaps, you know, you're morally deficient elsewhere. I know a lot of people got kind of that. Where do you get off when you had, you know, mistress over 12 years and you were, you know, your wife was feeling this way and you basically told her to deal with it? Holy cow. Yeah, I'd have shown you how I dealt with it. Oh, CIA or not, tell you what, I just am shocked, right? Anyway, I read that last night and I just could not believe it. And I remember the Petraeus thing, like he had to, I mean, it ended up being this, one of the reasons it was such a scandal where people were saying, well, oh my gosh, look at his security access. And here's something that you can actually use to compromise him with. It just seems, I don't know, just is kind of unbelievable. All right. We have phone calls coming up, 844-344-DANA. It's Open Line Friday. We'll have Mailbag of Hate next hour. And Eric Holder says, when was America ever great? We'll discuss. Oh, wow. He just can't stop, can he? He just can't. We need a clone Gordon Ramsay. Celebrities are threatening to boycott Georgia because of their heartbeat bill. Oh, my gosh. And then a Supreme Court halts a Texas execution because the murderer didn't have his Buddhist priest there. Not Judas priest, I said. Buddhist priest. Yeah, very, but huge difference. So we'll discuss that because you're literally on death row. I don't think you need to be complaining about what you have or what you don't have. You committed a horrible atrocity. Did your victims, were they able to have their priest there with them? Family, you know, I'm just curious. So we'll touch upon all of that stuff. Super Beats is great for increasing your stamina, your energy, and focus throughout the day. Naturally, without the addition of stimulants and all that processed sugar that isn't good for you. And it's because of those dietary nitrate. It's within it. It's a great source of that dietary nitrate, antioxidants. This is beets have it naturally, and you can cook beets at home, but the heat destroys the nitrates. And nitrates, once consumed, kickstarts the body's production of nitric oxide, making your arteries wider and flexible, and increasing your circulation while helping to maintain the healthy blood pressure. So it's easy to do. And it's 4 ounces, 1 scoop into 4 ounces of water, regular mild berry flavor or the black cherry flavor, which is natural cherry. Try Super Beets risk-free for 90 days. Visit danasbeets.com and get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets with your first order at danasbeets.com and free nitric oxide indicator strips to test those nitric oxide levels. You can also call 800-664-5617, danasbeets.com.
It's The Dana Show.
I am laughing so hard at this Florida man story somebody sent me, and it's from November, or no, it's from last year, June of 2018. I never actually read it because I haven't seen it, but I am not. And there's a video, and it's so awkward. I don't even know. You guys send me some of the most awkward stuff. I'm like, I am just crying right now because of it. We're going to get to it in a minute. 844-344, Dana. Online 3, it's Double Line Friday. Online 3, we got Rick calling in from Orlando, WDBO. Rick, welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Dana. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thanks for calling.
Yes, ma'am. I had two things I wanted to bring up. One is Darren Soto, one of the wonderful Democrat congressmen from down here, is introducing legislation to make Puerto Rico a state. In general, I don't have a huge problem with that. My problem is one of the arguments he was making on our local radio today was, look at all the funds we'll get because they'll finally be paying federal income tax.
They're broke. We'd be assuming all their debt, too.
They're broke. Yeah, and 90% of those people are going to, when they file taxes, are going to qualify for earned income credit, giving them thousands of dollars instead of paying dollars. So that is such a farce and misrepresentation of the facts.
Now, I'm more open to hearing Puerto Rico becoming a state than D.C. being treated as one. But the problem is that, I mean, they're broke and they have so many problems and so much debt. I think it's fair to wonder if I honestly think that they need to kind of get their house in order before that's a consideration, personally.
Oh, yes, ma'am, completely. The other item I wanted to bring up is, why isn't anybody asking or calling for the investigation of the FISA court judge who signed the warrants on Carter Page and those people? He has to be in on the conspiracy. He's a judge. He could call in those people such as Comey, Page, Strzok, and the rest of them, hold them in contempt for lying to him and giving false information. He's done nothing. We've heard nothing from him. So either the court needs to be investigated or he needs to be investigated, because something's not right there.
Right.
The court being silent this long.
There's more than one. There's more than one FISA judge, and I don't know if they, I don't know if they had, you know, if it was in how they would say usually with some of these circuit courts en banc or however they did it. But this is actually something that's pretty close to something that Lindsey Graham has actually brought up before when he was talking about where's the investigation into this abuse and discussing the the application and the fact that, you know, there was no effort made to certify any of the information and all of that stuff. So he's actually brought that up. I appreciate you calling in, Rick. We got more calls coming up. Let's kick it into some Florida Man.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Bam, bam, bam!
Did he just punch some crickets? All right, this is the story I wanted to share because it was sent to me by a Florida listener. It is from June 2018, but I've never seen it. So, and it's so ridiculous, I will include it. So I am going to include it. So this is WFLA. This is just the headline. Naked rake attack.
Naked rake attack?
Naked rake attack. There's a lot of A's in there.
Yeah.
Wow, in more ways than one. So it says a Florida man is recovering from several wounds after fighting off a naked intruder armed with a rake. Deputies say Maurice Castaneda, not wearing a stitch of clothes, barged into Bill and Crystal Caldwell's Newport Richey home. Bill Caldwell said, looked up and here's a naked guy in my house, and I instantly start screaming, get out of my house, and he didn't get out. That's the actual direct quote. And he said that Bill shoved him into his side yard, and he said Castaneda grabbed his rake. He just, I guess, had a rake. The most amazing thing about this is there's video. And I'm just amazed. He said he grabbed his rake, and he says, Caldwell says he got a couple of lumps on his hand. Crystal tossed her husband a hatchet, but he said that he had a better weapon in his truck, a hammer. I mean, heaven forbid anybody get a rifle. But yeah, this is one of the most amazing things ever. Like I said, it's from 2018, but it's still. Florida man believed that he was half man, half dog. A forensic psychologist says a former college student believed he was half man, half dog when he fatally attacked a man and woman at their home and was found biting on one of their faces. The Palm Beach Post reports that Dr. Philip Resnick made the conclusion in a 38-page mental health report released this week by Martin County State Attorney's Office. Austin Haruff was 22, biting John Stevens' face while growling. He's preparing an insanity defense, of course. This makes me mad. Florida pet zebra was fatally shot by its owner after escaping its home. I hope that he is investigated because he didn't have to kill this animal. He wasn't licensed to own it. A pet zebra escaped. Nassau County Sheriff's Office say the zebra named Shadow injured itself. Well, he injured himself, and they said that they had to shoot it. He had to put it down. That's awful, though. Oh, stay with us. More in store. Mailbag of hate coming up, too.
Oh, that's exactly right. And that's when I hear these things about let's make America great again. And I think to myself, well, exactly when did you think America was great? It certainly wasn't when people were enslaved. It certainly wasn't when women didn't have the right to vote. It certainly wasn't when the LGBT community was denied the rights to which it was entitled.
Does that phrase echo as discrimination in your ears?
It takes us back to, I think, an American past that never, in fact, really existed, this notion of greatness.
Wow, I don't think that he understands what that means then. That's not Well, I guess he's talking about, you know, when he said the good old days, I guess he's talking about slavery. Just take it all the way back. I'm going to start doing that every time. Anytime I hear anyone say that. No, Siri, I'm not talking to you. No. Literally. Anytime I ever hear anyone say the good old days, give me that one song with from the Judds, the good old days. Tell me, give me that. Because I guess they're talking about slavery and women not being able to vote and stuff. It's exactly what that meant. I mean, verbatim. Remember this? This is a song about slavery. These white racist people from, forget where they came from, Tennessee. As soon as the ad stops playing, because we totally didn't plan for this. Just treading water here now. This song right here. Tell me, Grandpa, about the good old days. Just get to the chorus. I don't want to hear all this build up. Just fast forward it. Fast forward.
Some people.
Do it live. It's amazing. It's Friday. Get to it. Get to it.
We call it progress.
I want to hear Grandpa tell me about the good old days.
I just don't know.
Because according to Eric Holder, everyone's singing about slavery.
That's
what they're talking about. Right here.
Then paint me
an oppression of women not being able to vote. That's what it's all about. They're talking about going back to those times. That's exactly what they're talking
about. Did lovers really fall in love?
Just fast forward it. I can't even hear
it. And stand beside each other. Come,
I'm already done. I just want to hear it one damn time. They're not there yet. They still have a whole other verse.
Something they would say.
Not close.
And then forget.
Not there.
Your family's really bowed their heads.
Are you not totally familiar with the song at all?
Oh, Grandpa, tell me about the good old
talking about slavery. That's what they're talking about.
Thank God we got this.
Jeez. Has this gone on anymore? Oh, my gosh. I can't even handle it. Welcome back to the show, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. So, we'll go into phone lines here shortly. Because that's pretty much exactly what, I can't believe that he actually said that. That's, well, it's, you know, it's going back to, I mean, was America ever great?
It's what the Obamas, it's what the Obamas did in 2007,
that's true. 2008. I mean, and I know people have already said, America's already great. Now he's saying, really, was it ever? That's pretty big, you know, departure. I don't know, but to make it out, oh my gosh, this is just, it's silly. I don't know.
My analogy was weather. It's like, you can't judge all of weather by just the cloudy days.
They're talking about that American spirit that made the country what it is today with freedom. This is the, you know, one of the freest countries in the world. And that's what he's talking about, but leave it to Eric Holder. How can I make this about Trump and racism? Again, going back to that meme. You're riding a bike, you grab a stick and you stick it in the spokes. You predictably fall off and skin your knee and you hug your knee. Damn you, Trump. Oh, and that's where we're at. That is where we are. All right. So one of the other things to get into, we're going to get, we still have other, there's quite a bit, a lot, is this Emergency Risk Protection Order bill that's coming in from Marco Rubio. Now, this is, they're called gun, there's been some discussion about gun violence restraining orders and things like that. My friend David French over at National Review floated something like this. And there have been some kind of, you know, there's been some back and forth about it. Rubio is this is something that he would like to see get through the Senate. And it is, there's always concern about due process rights. Same as, there's like the, you know, the red flag provision that was in the Violence Against Women's Act that I talked about first hour. So the problem with so many of these things that I've seen that have been proposed is that here, like particularly with Parkland, you know, the FBI literally had a statement wherein they confessed that they did not properly follow through with all of the protocol. This is the second such statement that the FBI, well, actually third, that they have released in terms of not following up with something that ended up being a horrible tragedy. because the other one was the Charleston Church massacre, and the FBI came out and said, yeah, it was paperwork error. It wasn't a lack of a waiting period. It wasn't a lack of anything. When you have things that are inaccurately entered into a database, they're going to stay inaccurately entered into a database, and no extended waiting period is going to make people not have human error in such a way. And that's the problem. So the problem with this particular, with what Rubio has proposed, and these, and some of the things that I've seen with these, you know, these gun violence protection orders and that, is that with this particular, like with, for instance, with the murderer in Parkland, there were a lot of clear warning signs, and there was actually violations of law, statutes which are treated like a felony that would have prevented him if had they had been followed from doing anything. I mean, when you have somebody who's, you know, threatening to kill other people, calling the police on himself, beating the teeth out of his mother's head, so on and so forth, taking knives to school, literally threatening kids that he's going to kill them through digital means, which is treated as a felony in the state of Florida, then that, you know, that is not even really a red flag issue. That is, holy crap, that's illegal. Take him into custody. That's a huge difference. And I don't think enough people are talking about that. When he's sending digital death threats, and I said this on the stage, and I was the only person to say this on the stage during that broadcast event that CNN called a town hall. And by the way, I have a piece up, Real Clear Politics asked me to write a column on that, discussing some of the backstory, and I did, and it's up at realclearpolitics.com right now. Those things that he did, those were crimes. Sending digital death threats, beating people till their teeth fall out, all of this and more. There's a ton more. But those two things specifically, well, that's assault. And sending digital death threats, the Florida state statute treats it as a felony, so which would make that individual ineligible to purchase or possess. If that had been followed up on properly by the Broward Sheriff's Office, this individual would not have been free to purchase a firearm as he was. He wouldn't have. He would have been ineligible. He would have been entered into the National Crime Information Center so that if he tried to fill out a 4473, that check would not have gone through. It would have stopped right there at point of sale. That's the whole damn purpose of the system. So what good does something like a gun violence or a extremist protection order, that doesn't even affect this, because this was about a law not being followed and implemented. And so, and this was even after the sheriff's office and school officials were tipped off to the fact that this felony crime was taking place, and they still ignored it. That's a fact. That's something that the Stoneman Douglas Commission concluded. So how in the world does an extreme risk protection order even factor into that? It doesn't. That's the big thing. So going back to that, this the problem with some of the, well, with the Rubio propositions, and there are a lot of problems. One of the things is that whenever someone is talking about extreme risk protection orders and they want to cite mental health, is that there isn't any treatment that's included as a part of that. You know, you say, oh my gosh, someone's mentally unstable, we need to go and take their to where they're a danger to themselves or others, we need to go take their firearms, and then that's it. We're just going to leave them home with their cars and knives and everything else. There's never, not a single one of these, is there any follow-up for any mental health treatment. If you're going to use mental health treatment as the citation as to why you're taking something from someone as it relates to a natural right, which normally you need to be adjudicated either mentally unfit or convicted of something, then if you're literally citing mental health as the reason for why you're intervening, why is there then no attention to mental health in any of this? There's no follow-up. There's no treatment as a result of an extreme risk protection order. I mean, I don't even understand that. I mean, if you think that someone is dangerous because they have a mental imbalance that is making them so, taking something from them actually would probably only exacerbate that. And then when you don't even have any sort of process for treatment, you just leave them. That doesn't even make any sense. You're actually making it worse. You're not even treating the problem. One of the other things that I've seen discussed is the, and I talked about this earlier with some of the other, with the Violence Against Women Act, where it concerns the broad definition, the expansion of the definition to include for any kind of intimate partner or anything like that. You can even include roommates. You can include anything with that. And I understand the need to want to make sure that people who are in someone's inner circle have the ability to do so, but you don't need to broaden this definition or do anything with regards to this in terms of law when you have civil commitments and so many other legal processes available outside of this. And there is no penalty for abuse of this. And if you think that government systems or that law hasn't been abused before, hi, what's been the top story the past week? Any takers? Yeah. Not only that, but the due process, you're creating, you're removing it, actually, because you're not demanding that any evidence be required in order to have someone adjudicated ineligible to purchase or possess a firearm. Do you I just really want you to understand that when you're talking about stripping rights from someone, you need to make sure that due process is respected and that you present evidence. The way that this is written right now, Rubio's extreme risk protection order is written right now, there are no protections in place for that that I have been able to determine. And I've read it. I've read the current wording. There isn't any information that's brought forward to prove whether or not someone should be made ineligible, and they don't have any sort of opportunity to legally respond before a penalty is enacted. And that's the problem. There isn't any deadline that's factored into this legislation either to return anybody's property that is seized. And there's, I mean, that's, there are so many things wrong for this. And people like to say that because you're worried about due process, that means they, and this is what I hear from anti-gun people, and I think that this is horrible that they do this. But they say, oh, well, I guess you don't care about, for this particular instance, they say, I guess you don't care about protecting people if you're wanting to protect due process, which is completely and just an oxymoronic statement. And I hear so many individuals say, oh, well, with the Violence Against Women Act and the red flag, I guess you just don't want women to be saved, which, can you please stop acting like an abuser and demanding that we bow a knee to your extreme political demand and using, battered women as pawns? Can you stop that? Because I find it absolutely sickening and anti-woman, frankly. And for people who say that to me, unless you knew my child history and you know the crazy crap that I saw and how I was a statistic, if I were to drop the full weight of everything that I've experienced as a child growing up, you would sit the hell down and you would feel ashamed forever having to open your mouth to me. It's why I am so passionate about what I believe. I've seen more things than these people, than some of these quote unquote activists complaining about it. You have the luxury of not having to experience the childhood I experienced. So shut the hell up and sit down. Quit trying to disarm me and make me a victim for the men whose abuse you encourage, because I believe in the Second Amendment, you women-hating abusers. Pick a side. Well, you have. It's the criminal side. I forgot. We got a lot more to get into. 844-344-DANA. We got headlines as well. We got mailbag of hate and all kinds of good stuff still that we will be moving on here to. But, and then, inane stupidity. 844-344-DANA, just all the stuff that we've been talking about this week. Purple Heart is a great organization of volunteer veterans that help other veterans. And it's not a publicly funded organization, it's a privately funded organization. And everything that you donate goes towards comprising their educational scholarships. It goes towards their Canines for Combat Vets, their PTS support, getting homeless vets off the street, working with veterans to get through all the paperwork and get the benefits that they are owed through the VA. And they work with all veterans, not just those who are combat wounded. They provide emotional, physical, educational, and financial support for veterans and their families. And that's all about the legacy of the Purple Heart. So in honor of those who have served, pledge your support to the Purple Heart Foundation today. Visit givetopurpleheart.org. That's givetopurpleheart.org, or call 888-414-4483. Everything's tax deductible, vehicle or cash. 888-414-4483. givetopurpleheart.org.
It's the Dana Show.
We got calls after this. I got 2 minutes for you for headlines. Do it, do it, do it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Apparently, Garfield phones were washing up on a French beach for like 30 years. Like the orange plastic Garfield phones. Nobody knows really why, because they were sold in the 80s. And beach cleaning teams thought maybe it was a lost shipping container, but they were never able to find it. And finally, they found a shipping container, apparently, that was in a secluded sea cave. accessible only at low tide. And that's where, and apparently it was just chock full of these orange Garfield phones. And for 30 years, they've been washing up on this beach, like 10 and 12 of them sometimes at a time. It's just for 30 years. And they were like, people were wondering what in the hell was happening. And they finally figured it out. Oh, man. Okay, so moving on. I got more. So this dude who's the mayor of Miramar, Florida, also wants to run for president. Yeah. Oh, he's a Democrat. Wayne Messam. I don't even know. Moving on. Everybody wants to run. The U.S. is projected to add 1.5 million illegal aliens this year because people keep coming over. They just keep on coming over. The Kansas House tentatively approves lowering the age for concealed carrying weapons to 18. It still has to make it through over a couple of other hurdles. Pollution may cause psychosis? Really? I don't know about that. Explain some cities, though. They say toxic air linked to psychotic experiences in young people in the UK. They say people living in cities are more exposed to pollution caused by vehicles. Reducing exposure could save you from mental illness. I always think living in like a condensed city like London or New York, there's something to it, you know? I don't know. We have calls and mailbag of hate coming up. Stay with us.
The Dana Show is now available on demand. Subscribe on iTunes and get full episodes delivered right to your phone.
You'd be doing windmills, wing, and if it doesn't blow, you can forget about television for that night. Darling, I want to watch television. I'm sorry, the wind isn't blowing.
It's like that joke. What did socialists use before light bulbs? Candles. Oh, no, wait. Before candles, light bulbs. That's what it was. Sorry, I just messed that all up. It's true, though. I always wonder, and I'm so glad that he changed the light bulb rule. Do the dish detergent, Mr. President, so I can have more phosphates in my dish detergent. Put the phosphates back. Oh, my gosh. Nothing is more ridiculous of me than having some government agency tell you what kind of light bulbs to use. These are what kind of, you're going to use these light bulbs, this dish detergent. And then meanwhile, I just feel like we're all getting brainwashed by the Tiny House Show on HGTV. And then we're told, hey, you guys, you need to use this really crappy lighting. It's better for the environment. It makes everyone look jaundiced in all your photos. It's wonderful. And if it breaks, you could possibly poison yourself to death. You can't, like, actually clean it up yourself. So, you know, Merck is just stuff everywhere. Just go ahead and use this stuff. Have you noticed that? It's just all, I don't like that. I don't. And then they want you to drive these little bitty cars. Drive these little bitty cars that are poorly designed. They look horrible. I can't do that. It's just, it's so ick. Anyway, I just love that soundbite. 844-344-DANA. Now, you have to bear with me because, quick thing, and then I'm going to the phones. My call screener is horrible because it's on a PC and I am not a PC person. I know PC. I had one. I could take it apart, put it back together. And so I can't pull up my screener. So I'm having to rely on Steven to be completely accurate in telling me who's on the line. And sometimes he's just like, oh, what's her face is online, whatever. And I'm like, we don't know these people. You can't just tell me what's her face. Anyway, so online one from that. Indiana. You'll be like, oh, somebody's on this line. And I'm like, about?
Too busy watching dance videos.
No. George from Indiana, who is a deputy sheriff, is online one, calling in from WIBCville. Appreciate your service to the community, and thanks for your patience.
Thank you, Dana. Yes, I'm currently a deputy sheriff in Indiana. I also served active duty in the Marine Corps from 1967 to 71, and I've seen a lot of changes. The one that has most of the sheriff's department here most concerned is the red flag law that kind of slipped in under the radar in Indiana. We all feel like, yes, we have to enforce the laws that we're sworn to enforce, but we feel like the red flag law violates the Fourth Amendment's protection against unlawful search and seizure.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's true. It does. You lose that protection for sure. I completely agree with you. And it also, as well, if someone is being called, if someone is being reported because there is a concern for their mental well-being, one of the things that I've noticed in so many of these bills and in Indiana as well, is that there isn't anything written into the proposal that actually addresses that. And if that's the reason that you're being called on someone, well, if you take their firearms, you just leave them there with their car and their knives and everything else, and that doesn't solve the problem necessarily.
Well, I feel like they have, at the very least, they should have the right to representation. They should be able to get them back. There was one gentleman that was in America's First Freedom here a while back, and while they held his guns, he never got them back because they were charging him $100 a day storage, and he couldn't afford to pay the storage to get them back after it was found that he was not a threat.
Wow. Wow. That is insane. Yeah, there is a huge legal expense that goes in with it, to say nothing of the cost that is incurred when you have to go and clear your name because, you know, you've been wrongfully accused. Does it concern you, too, that there's no protections against abuse of the red flag system that they're proposing?
Oh, yes, that's absolutely a major concern. I don't know of it happening, but I could just foresee an ex-spouse or something getting mad over a child custody dispute and saying, well, hey, we need to get all this guy's guns, and it be totally unfounded, but what's the recourse to go back to it?
No, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I appreciate you calling in, sir, with your insight on that. Thank you so much. Very much appreciated. And you know what? And there was something similar to what he just said, too. There was a case in D.C. This was like 5-6 years ago. Because they even banned, like, you can't even have shells and things like that. And he had this inoperable shell that was, like, vintage something from, I don't remember all the story, but it was, like, an antique, right? And it was a custody dispute, and the wife, the ex-wife, had apparently reported him for having a banned item like that in within D.C., and he got in a lot of trouble, and it was very expensive legally because he had this inoperable shell. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because that has happened. I mean, it absolutely has happened before, and it's a huge concern. There's no due process protection. There's nothing like that, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, we are very nervous about it, and we want to make sure that, you know, it's not being abused, and that, I don't know. It is very much bothersome, and concerned about it. So we'll see. I mean, it's being proposed by a Republican in the Senate, and there's some bipartisan support for it. And, you know, there you go. It is now time for some hate mail.
And now it's finally that part of the show where Dana monetizes the hate. All week, hateful posts, tweets, replies, and emails have been collected. The best of the best make the cut. It's Mailbag of Hate on The Dana Show.
Real emails and tweets and insanity from people who vote and drive cars and all of that stuff. It's pretty crazy. And by the way, I will take the money that we make in this particular segment. Just give it, put some on the plate for Jesus, and then spend the rest on range ammo and guns. Yay! All right, so first up, this one's a real short one. I noticed that I started getting a lot fewer emails when we began reading them on Air for Money. Now, normally, I don't give everybody's email address out unless you're really ridiculous. Then I do. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it. That should teach you a lesson not to send nasty emails. Like KM, whose Gmail address is Reimagined Musings. Wow. That sounds like somebody wears hemp and works as a barista. Right? What's your favorite item of clothing? Hemp. What's your favorite smell? Patchouli. So Reimagined Musings at Gmail writes, all caps lock. Dana, I want to book you in hell. That's where your sword belongs. No fewer than 4 exclamation points. Wow. And they send it to the booking address, which I thought was very interesting because I guess they couldn't find the feedback one. It's not really hard to find. It's actually right next to it, but that's okay. So this is from also the same person, reimaginedmusings@gmail.com. They sent one to every one of the email addresses. The subject, hot tip for you. Probably not. They write, okay. You are advertising what a completely uneducated fool you are. You bring so much evil and negative things into the world. Irony. Don't you, caps lock, dare mention God, you soulless human. You must have never gotten a hug in your life. You are desperately calling for attention. Please, you poor, pathetic thing. See evil something, exclamation point, at symbol.
I gave you a hug.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It is so crazy. Anyway, someone actually got really upset. Ronnie Lynn Hayes, because of judgment.
Sounds like a serial.
Because player. I said there aren't two E's in judgment, because there aren't. And I cannot believe someone got that upset about it. So this is really funny. Ronnie Lynn Hayes writes, and by the way, don't ever send me mail where you have comma splices, you don't correctly incorporate your period inside of your quotations, and you also don't use quotations correctly. Nor postscript, so don't. So Ronnie Lynn Hayes writes, subject, you are wrong and not helping yourself, dear. Improper use of ellipses. Bless your heart. They write, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, which this hate mail person decided to use as a possessive instead of a plural. Oh. The apostrophe, when going after my grammar, full stop, when going after my grammar, do not have bad grammar. I will roast you. So here's a little lesson. In this particular sentence, in a letter to the Romans, unless you're saying that that is one Romans person's letter, there's no reason to have an apostrophe in and then S, because that signals possessiveness. Okay. Now you would just have no apostrophe and have the S, because that's actually what the book is called. It's not the singular Roman, nor is it Romans book, like possessive. So I'll start over. I had to say that. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, spells it. And by the way, can I stop again? Why is there a comma between the incorrect possessive Romans and spells? Like, out of nowhere, you just decided to drop a comma in there. It's like going, Cain, do you really, comma, like tomatoes? That doesn't even make sense. Like, how does that? That's not even proper. Okay, I swear I'm going to get through this. All right, ready? Okay. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, spells it judgment, J-U-D-G-E-M-E-N-T, as does the King's English. Read, improper use of colon, King James. P.S., improper postscript, Lash has a pronunciation according to your radio show as Lash. Please stop making yourself look like a Limbaugh who brags about his lack of college education. Improper use of ellipses. With illogical syllogisms as regular. By the way, why did you even drop those ellipses in there? I hope you're better than that girl. No period at the end? Really, Ronnie Lynn Hayes? Oh my gosh, I would give you an F for the grammar in this. If you're going to use a postscript, that actually goes towards the end of it. And that's not the way to do it. And I don't even know why you're talking about the pronunciation of my name. And no, it is judgment without an E. Old-timey British did it with an E, but that's not commonly accepted as proper spelling today. I'm sorry you didn't learn that in the classes that you didn't attend.
Also, Apostle Paul never wrote the word judgment. That's an English word. Apostle Paul didn't write the King James Version of the Bible. So that's just another thing to point out.
Yeah, I know. Another thing to write out. It's just, I'm really bothered by the possessive Romans. Really bothers me. Okay, so just quick educational note, because of somebody like Ronnie Lynn Hayes, never ever come at me with grammar. And never ever have bad grammar when you come at me with grammar.
You shouldn't go to anyone with grammar issues.
No. And don't ever challenge Cain to a recitation of all the books of the Bible from memory and order with your eyes closed.
That's right.
Because he'll beat you.
It's my favorite drinking game. I'm just kidding.
You just took that right there, didn't you? That was Easter last year. There you go. All right, folks, that is our hate. Oh, I think I have one nice one. Hold up. Do I want to get on there? Because I had someone say, why don't you ever read your nice email? And I'm like, I don't know. Oh, here. So this is a nice one. This is from Penelope. She writes, Grammar, I'm with you. And I want to say that Penelope also correctly uses ellipses. It's three, space before, space after, not four, continually run into the previous last letter of the last word. She writes, I heard your broadcast today and agree with you 100% about people that say conversate. Drives me bananas. She's absolutely right. She said use combustion engine instead of combustible. Okay, you're right, yes. But that is funny, and she also likes Voltron, which is very nice. I love that someone else appreciates the conversate, because I had a really bad troll on Twitter that I had to block who then threatened to kill me because he was insisting conversate's a word and then told me I was a murderer.
The words matter.
I'm like, you literally listen to my radio show and you call me a murderer, but okay, that's fine. Yes, conversate is not a word. There you go. Oh, and then another one, Michael also wrote, yes, you are correct. Conversate is not a word. And he also says, yes, most lawyers prefer that judges express good judgment, no two E's, when drafting their judgment. Yeah, there you go. And then I think that was, oh, I had one other. Eric wrote me and said he started listening to the podcasts, which are the show archives, and appreciates the fresh perspective to the news, and says he has a 3-year-old daughter that adores Peppa Pig, and he saw that fireman episode. Do you remember that earlier in the week when people were saying Peppa Pig was sexist? And he says, I saw the fireman episode, and in fact, the volunteers of the fire department were the mothers. The majority of them were the mothers while the dads were having a barbecue. He goes, my opinion is that the issue came up from people that have never even seen the show. Yeah, that is great. Perfect. All right, folks. That does it for, I had good email today too. That does it for Mailbag of Hate this particular week. Car Shield makes it all possible. And they also make it possible for you to avoid super, super costly repairs to your vehicle because they have it's extended vehicle service protection. They make the process easy for a covered repair. Take it to your mechanic that you trust or the dealership. They give you 24/7 roadside assistance in a rental car while yours is being fixed. So if your car is 5,000 to 150,000 miles, it doesn't mean you got to pay high repair bills. Their administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you. So save yourself thousands in future car repairs and get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection. Call 800-CAR-6000, mention code Dana, or visit carshield.com. Use code Dana to save 10%. Carshield.com, code Dana, 800-CAR-6000. A deductible may apply.
To hear today's full show, subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on your device to catch anything you may have missed.
And she's from Hawaii. What do you think of the Green New Deal? It was just put up by the Democrats. Well, I like it very much. But she never saw it. Then they said, but you can't fly anymore. And she's in Hawaii. She said, but how would I get to my island? They said, we're working on some kind of a train system. So she said, okay, well, then I am for it 100%. It is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
He's such a troll. How are you going to get there? Where are your planes at? I love it. Oh, yeah. All right. So anyway. I had some good sound bites from last night. Some very good ones. Folks, today's stupidity. It is.
Nancy Pelosi again, 2 days in a row.
Jimmy, Christmas.
She talked about how Republicans are just scared about releasing the full 300-page Mueller report. No one is scared, but here's her take on all of that.
Almost criminal behavior of the previous chair of the committee. So what is the president afraid of? Is he afraid of the truth, that he would go after a member, a chairman of a committee, a respected chairman of a committee in the Congress? I think they're just scaredy cats. They just don't know what to do, so they have to make an attack.
It's so funny how Democrats describe exactly what their strategies are by blaming the other side of those same things.
Exactly. Folks, that does it for our show this week. Have a great weekend. We will be back with you Monday.